see what's trending in plastics today with VersaPak News. Right now, we have Andrew Reynolds, director at AMI, joining us today. AMI is a leading provider of information, market intelligence, and events for the global plastics industry. We also have Jeff Kanapke and Keith Coverman from VersaPak here with us. Today, we are going to be talking about the latest AMI conference, which they all attended, which took place the first week of February in Coral Springs, Florida. So, Andrew, if you wanted to kick us off, just if you had to give a snapshot of the two or three biggest industry trends that you discussed in your initial presentation at the conference, what would those look like?
We live in a world where a lot of what the brands are doing are driven by what they think young people want. But actually, the evidence of research says young people don't necessarily do that much recycling. And more than anything, they continue to demand a very high level of convenience from the products and the packages they use. And quite often, that level of convenience will say, well, we need quite a lot of packaging so that the product that you want to consume arrives at your table or into your shopping basket in the optimum conditions. So I think that's what the challenges are. And therefore, you know, people in the industry have to navigate what are quite choppy waters of determining how they meet the needs of retailers and consumers when retailers and consumers quite often don't know what they want. I think the other thing about the sustainability debate, which is an important thing for us to kind of get our heads around, is I think for the last 30 years, plastics have been the default material of choice for companies innovating packaging and how their products are presented. I think that stopped. I think we're now in a position, and it's not that some other product has taken that default position of plastics is the first port you call in when you're thinking of what you should use. I think what you now have is a much stronger competition where it's a level playing field, where brands will say, well, do we want something in plastic? Do we want paper? Do we want metal? Do we want glass? All of them come with their own prejudice. And it's kind of really dealing with that that becomes, I think, the challenge for companies in the industry of how they present what they have as solutions and new innovations in a way that appeals to brands and consumers. And I think, you know, we just have to work a lot harder to make certain that the plastic products are understood by the potential consumers, both in the benefits they bring to the pack, but more pertinently, the sustainability play. There's still a lot of people who think plastics aren't recyclable. You know, everyone accepts metal's recyclable, glass is recyclable. There's a lot of groups who say, oh, plastics aren't recyclable. That's just one of the examples, I think, in the sustainability discussion where we have to reconsider how we approach the market and the general arguments we make to the market.
Yeah, great points and very interesting. Just a lot of it is consumer perception and how do we change that? Jeff and Keith, we've talked a little bit about sustainability at VersaPak, but are there any changes as far as what you're seeing from your distributors or questions people are asking that along the lines of sustainability?
Yeah, there are. Sustainability is a push for sure in 2020. You know, we do offer a lot of recycled resins here at VersaPak as well. You know, if it's requested, the challenges that we face right now on the FDA side, you know, we do a lot of the food product packaging. Recycled material is not allowed to be placed in FDA materials right now. I know there's some push for the PCR, post-consumer resin, that they're, you know, trying to get the specs in, you know, to be allowed a certain percentage in that into the food market. So that, I know that's becoming a big push. So, you know, VersaPak has always ran a recycled material. So we do, but now the push is that I want 25% in the final package now. I want 30% of, you know, recycled or post-consumer resin, et cetera. So we have been looking into different manufacturers of the PCR resin, and also having meetings with our resin suppliers now on, you know, the future of 2020 on the sustainability side. After the meeting, we did, I'm going to go back to what Andrew said in regards to Rebecca Casey's point. She made some very valid points. One was training the consumer. So what Keith and I and Scott talked about after is like, well, the training side, does everybody know that, you know, our recycle number is 4? And do we put that on to every one of our labels that we send out? You know, it has a description, has a size, you know, on there. So do we add a simple recycle symbol number 4? So then we're helping the consumer, you know, the end user know that this product is recyclable and the symbol is number 4. So we've been talking about that, throwing that around. So Keith, do you have anything?
One thing in regards to sustainability, so not only are customers wanting more plastic, like Andrew was talking about, they're staying with, it's not really growing like it has been, but the one thing that end users have been doing is really trying to down gauge. And in regards to down gauging, that's less of a footprint that they're going to be putting on the environment. So the packaging people are definitely aware of the footprint aspect of it. And that is one thing that VersaPack can do, is we can help a customer down gauge in regards to different materials that we can run. So that is another way that VersaPack can definitely work with a customer in regards to the sustainability of the plastic market.
Okay. So that's interesting what you just said. Can you explain what you mean by down gauging?
So there are materials that can be used as strengtheners. So instead of running a 100% LLDPE bag, what we can do is we can put different copolymers or different kind of materials in there that will give the end user the same strength at a lower gauge, which would then in turn lower the footprint, just less material that needs recycled.
So switching gears a little bit, another piece that was discussed at the conference, and I looked at a couple presentations on this, was technology. So Andrew, I don't know if you want to give us kind of a recap. Were there any anything exciting or new technologies that were discussed at the conference that you were interested in?
I think for me, the main thing was a continuation of trends that we've seen for quite a while. But what interests me is just the increased sophistication across the board and a sophistication and a practical approach to the market that sees companies really trying to make certain that everything they do throughout their process has greater control, greater sophistication. It's just an ongoing process, the advancing co-extrusion, which, you know, and again, going back to the previous point about the sustainability, the ability to down gauge, the ability to use a variety of different materials in a structure so that you can make the structure with exactly the same performance, but using 10 or 20% less material. That's been ongoing, but the way in which the sophistication of measuring of how much material you're putting in, making certain that it is exactly the right amount, continues. So I think for me, that's the major trend, that it's not just, you know, it used to be that people made a better material and they made a better extrusion line so that it was more sophisticated and there were greater controls and there were better additives. It's really all of that being knitted together so that it's not just one development of a better machine. It's the better machine combined with a better additive, a better polymer, a better way of measuring the gauge on a machine or measuring exactly what's in a formulation so that you're not wasting resources. You're putting in absolutely the right amount of each ingredient and you're measuring that performance on an ongoing way with a sophistication that you never had in the past.
So it sounds like it's just a lot of refining and making more efficient what we already have.
Generally, I think it is, yes. But some of those steps are really quite major. You know, they can lead to, in the round, quite sophisticated and strong improvements in what we're using.
Jeff or Keith, anything you heard about technology or anything along those lines that you think is on the horizon for VersaPak?
On the horizon would definitely be perhaps to expand our co-extrusion lines. So in the last year, we have put in 3 new 5-layer lines. So we are starting to get into exactly what Andrew was talking about, again, with these specific materials, cutting down on waste, obviously more efficient, but then again, helping out again with the sustainability in regards to what the customer is wanting and expecting. So expansion is definitely always on the horizon for VersaPak, and with our 5 layers, we're testing the waters there, and that would definitely be the route that we would go, would be the co-extrusion and the multi-layered lines.
What was the most surprising thing that you heard or learned at the conference?
This is Jeff. So I'll go back to Rebecca Casey's presentation. And one thing that stuck out in my mind is when she said, you know, like such on the political side, you know, the easiest thing to do is to ban bags, you know. But so all of the problem in a lot of people's eyes is the manufacturer. And she stated that we have to train the consumer. Once the consumer is trained on how to recycle, know it's recyclable, that, I don't know if you want to say a stigma or what you want to say, it will help decrease that. So it's like, you know, training the consumer, you know, training the politicians out there, et cetera, to understand that our product is not going away anytime soon, but, you know, it's definitely a recycled material that they need to be well aware of.
I think the one thing which struck me, and it's one of those things that's worth reminding ourselves of, because we often have this debate about the role of the products we make and the way they fit into our societies. And there's this kind of narrative that says, oh, people who work in the plastics industry are evil. All they want to do is produce these products which make them money and pollute the environment. And, you know, one, I think that's a totally false narrative, because all of us live in communities, all of us care about the health of those communities. And I think in the dialogue, what really struck me was the very strong concerns that people within the industry have and the drive they have to make better products, which make both our lives easier and better, but also deal with serious issues like the use of materials, the prevention of food waste. And, you know, I think what I took from the conference was the sense that we very much understand those issues because they are part of what we do, but very much our industry wants to be part of the solution. It's just that most of the time we feel, quite often for very logical reasons, that the kind of products we make actually make a very positive contribution to our world rather than a negative one. And again, I think it's sometimes very easy to fall in these groups of, oh, you know, the people over there are evil, the people over there are good, and not realize that actually there's a kind of middle ground there where all of us want a better world.
Was there anything you learned or heard at the conference that kind of reinforced what you're already doing at VersaPak? You heard it and you thought, okay, this is good. We're already on the right track with this.
Yeah, I guess one of the things that I would definitely talk about there would be, came from ExxonMobil when Dr. Tom Miller or Mr. Tom Miller was talking about a supplier's role in enforcing the importance of reprocessing material. So it was really interesting to me to hear about a raw material supplier actually doing tests on what recycled material looked like going back into the product. So one thing that I took from that was a raw material supplier would want to sell you as much raw virgin material as possible, but they're actually working towards the post-consumer or reprocessed material. That was just really interesting to me to see that Exxon was moving in that direction, because they know that that's what the consumer wants. And they know to stay in business, that's what they need to be working on, and help us as film manufacturers work on that as well, and help educate us on the importance of that.
What was one or maybe two big takeaways from the conference that you heard and you knowing that you want to put them into action in the coming months?
Sustainability has been talked about for the last couple of years. After that conference, I probably will say that 2020 is a huge push for that. And we're, like I said, we've already taken the steps. We're taking steps to become more sustainability, you know, products, et cetera. We talked about the labels. I mean, that's just a small little thing that we think we can do to help our, you know, customers, the consumer understand, you know, that it is a recyclable. You know, the Walmarts, the big box stores, they already have the, you know, the bins that you can put all the bags that you get in there to be recycled. So, I mean, the steps are going in the right direction, you know, and, you know, the training of the consumers, et cetera. So I think, you know, we're going to continue to look at the post-consumer. We do have a company on board that we're already in testing right now with their product. In the next couple months, you'll see probably a pretty big push with VersaPack on the marketing side of what we have to offer.
I think the only thing I would add at the end is just one of the things that someone said to me just before the conference, actually, but it's very relevant to all the discussion we've been having today, is the thing our industry needs to do is to start telling stories. You know, because I think the products, we still believe in the products we make, and we still genuinely feel that they make a contribution to a better world. And I think they do. But I think what the historical mistake we've made is that we've tended to, faced by an emotional argument, come back with a scientific argument. And, you know, I think we have to start telling positive stories. We have to simplify some of the benefits which our products make. You know, I never cease to be amazed by just as simple a thing as saying to someone who sees a piece of packaging film, when you say to them, this is a, you know, a 5 or a 7 layer material made up of distinct layers. It's incredibly thin, it's incredibly light, and it does this amazing job. And to tell stories around how the product developed and why it is in the way it is, rather than just saying, oh, you don't understand the discussion about sustainability because actually this is a better product because, and then we get into a great scientific discussion. I think we have to really engage with the emotions first by telling stories and then develop the more scientific, rational side of that discussion.
Visit versa-pack.com to stay up to date and learn more.